Well said, J.E. A lot of us have come to respect you, J.E. McNeil, who's done this tremendous work that you've just finished with Center on Conscience and War. At other times, as I've said, you don't mince words very often. You're not afraid to take an unpopular position with respect to the general population or with respect to the peace crowd. At one point, you kind of crushed, not intentionally, I'm sure, but you crushed my belief that if a draft were enacted, that we'd have strong, effective work against the war. That is my perspective still, that if a draft were enacted, that a lot of people who are just ignoring the war would have to sit up, pay attention, and say, we got to stop this war. And yet, you addressed the other side of that issue. I want to give you the forum to crush my hopes again.
I'd be happy to, because I think that is really a ridiculous position, to not mince words. It's a selfish position, too, because it's generally held by people who are not in a position to be drafted. In fact, it very recently came up in Friends Journal, there was an essay in which an older Quaker said, we need a draft so that our children will know and have to confront the issue of war. And I thought, well, isn't that convenient? Our children, who we know, odds are pretty good, they won't have to be drafted, that they will get a conscientious objector status because pretty much everybody knows that Quakers are conscientious objectors, and it's fairly easy for Quakers to get that status. So we want to draft somebody else's kids who manage to avoid the recruiter, so that our kids can understand that war is wrong. We want somebody else's kids to go to war so that we can get other people to say war is wrong. And that is just such a selfish position to me. And aside from that, it doesn't even work. You know, people have the myth is that the anti-war movement was strong because of the draft, and that the anti-war movement and people who opposed the draft stopped the war in Vietnam. But if you look at the sequence of events and you look at the facts, you'll realize that that's simply not true. First place, we had a draft since October 1940. The actual draft started in January 1941, but the system started October 1940 until 1976. How many wars did we have in between there? We had World War II. We had the Korean War. We had the Vietnam War. Did having the draft stop any of those wars? Stop us going into them? No, it didn't. In fact, having the draft allowed the military to say, we've got plenty of people, and if we don't have enough people, we can draft more people. We've got tons of people to be cannon fodder. We don't have to worry about if we're going to have enough people to recruit. So that's the first part of it. The second part of it is Nixon believed, in fact, that the draft was the driver of the anti-war movement. And the reality was he got rid of the draft. He got rid of the draft before the end of the war in Vietnam. But the anti-war movement, you know, some people may have dropped out of it. Probably some did. But the anti-war movement was still clear. The war in Vietnam was wrong. It wasn't the people who were, quote, unquote, afraid of being drafted who drove the anti-war movement. And it isn't the people now who are afraid of being forced into the military that drive the anti-war movement. There is an anti-war movement. And it has, in many respects, been very strong. There was a huge outflow before the vote to support President Bush's invasion of Iraq. There were phone calls and visits and telegrams and emails. If you were on the Hill that week before that vote, every office, the phones were ringing off the hook with constituents saying, don't invade Iraq, don't invade Iraq, don't vote to support the president on this. It's a huge outpouring. And many members of Congress just chose to ignore it. I was actually in Barbara Boxer's office one day, senator from California, and her staff, and she were saying, oh, she's going to vote against it. And she went in and voted for it, even though 98% of the people who called her office opposed it. It isn't the anti-war movement. It is Congress that's the pivotal point here. And just because we march up and down Pennsylvania Avenue does not necessarily sway Congress. It's what we do in the ballot box.